welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. We are going to do both of those things today. First, I want to introduce you to Kendra Sullivan. She is one of our licensed professional counselors at Sagemont's own counseling ministry that we have here at the church. And it is, I think, very interesting. So many people don't know that we have a counseling ministry here at Sagemont. Mm-hmm. It's been around for 20-something years, a long time. And, of course, it's grown. Absolutely. And right now, y'all have licensed professional counselors that are able to meet with people, that are meeting with people all the time during the week. How many are over there right now?
We have 18 professional counselors on staff currently. Yeah. We meet people Monday through Saturday in person. We also offer virtual appointments so you can stay in the comfort of home if that's more convenient for you.
I love that y'all added Saturday appointments. Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really great. And evenings, I guess y'all are here in the evenings?
Usually have counselors there till 8 every evening of the week.
So. Okay. And it is right down the road from Sagemont. It's not far. You could walk to it from our main campus. But it is nice and very purposeful that it's not on campus. You're not having to walk into the church and walk through the church and all that. There's parking in the back, which is just kind of the way it's set up, the building's set up. Mm-hmm. And you're able to go in. It's a small waiting room. And so I love that y'all are very purposeful with for so many people, walking into counseling is a difficult thing.
Absolutely.
They're in a hard, usually, not always, but usually in something hard is happening. Mm-hmm. And probably the last thing they want to do is have to sit and chat with people as they're walking in. So I love that y'all have a very purposefulness with that. So we do have the counseling ministry. If you want more information about that, you can go on the website. You can reach out to that department and ask questions. I love that on the website, y'all have all the counselors listed. Mm-hmm. With little bios and things, so if you can kind of look and see, like, I think I would love to sit and talk with this person. But then also, like you were saying, if you do and it doesn't fit, pick somebody else. Like, counseling is very personal, and so you want to be able to have that relationship with people. But the reason Kendra is here today is September is Suicide Awareness Month.
Yes.
Is that what it's called? I just want to make sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's Suicide Awareness Month, and we think that it's very important for us to be aware of that thing that so many people either are walking through because someone they know has had that happen, or they themselves are in a place of, this is something I have to struggle and think about on a regular basis. Yeah. So explain just a little bit about, in your own opinion maybe, why have a Suicide Awareness Month? Like, why is it important for us to stop and think about this?
Yeah, no, it's so important because it really does impact so many people, like you're saying, whether it's your own struggles, you've had thoughts about it, whether you know someone that's committed suicide, or maybe you know someone that's struggling and you're trying to figure out how to support them and may not know how to relate to them. And so it would be easy to say, oh, well, just some people struggle with that. But it's actually for people ages 15, I think, to 33, it's the second leading cause of death in America.
Really?
It's such a significant thing that people are struggling with. I think it's something like 30 million people that will report in the U.S. that they have suicidal thoughts. And so it's not something that's just that person over there that's kind of weird or off of everybody's radar. It's a lot more consistent than we think.
Absolutely.
So it's an important thing to talk about.
And I think having time to say, hey, we are going to talk about this, because I also know very often when I've had friends, maybe they had a spouse that committed suicide or a child, they're like, we had no idea. Mm-hmm. It came as a huge shock and surprise to
us.
And so having a time to actually go, okay, hey, y'all, we're going to talk about this. And so even if you're a parent or a spouse, just say, hey, it's September, it's Suicide Awareness Month. Let's just talk about that. Do you have those thoughts? Do you have friends that have those thoughts? And I think that's an easy way for us to start maybe a difficult conversation. And I mean, gosh, you never know what your kids are going to say back, or even your spouse or friends are going to say back to you when you just ask the question and open that door. So I told you, I kind of want to break it down into a couple different categories for us to discuss. First, let's talk about the person who themselves maybe is watching this or is listening and saying, every single day I have to fight the voice in my head that says, you aren't worth anything, you shouldn't be here, nobody would miss you. All those things that we know can be things people are hearing and thinking in their minds. Talk to those people in that category that they themselves are in a place where they're like, I'm I'm worried, I'm scared, this is a problem.
Sure, absolutely. Like we were just talking about, there's so many people that struggle. So one thing I would say is you're not alone. Just because you're struggling, there are other people that are in your shoes even right now. And so there's on the one hand, I think it's important to know you're not alone because there's resources. Because you're not alone, we've come up with ways to help people that are in those shoes. I think sometimes normalizing a struggle can also feel dismissive, though. Yeah. Sometimes people can feel like, oh, well, other people struggle, so this isn't a big deal. But just because you're not alone doesn't mean it's not something worth addressing. There are lots of resources, and certainly at the counseling center, we work with people that have suicidal ideation and people that know people that have died by suicide. And so it's something that I would encourage anybody that is struggling, even if it's just maybe what we would consider a passive thought. Maybe they don't have a plan right now, but it's on your mind. Reach out. Don't stay stuck in that. The sooner you can start getting some help, the easier it'll be to really start working through that.
Absolutely. I think that's so important. I had one friend that was going through counseling, and she said one of the most encouraging things my counselor said to me was, you don't have to live like this the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Like we can work through. And she said it was just like this weight of like, oh, there's hope. Mm-hmm. Like there's hope that I can get to a better mental place where I'm not just feeling like I'm drowning every single day.
Right.
And don't want to get out of bed and don't want to do the things. Mm-hmm. And she said, I mean, we're not there yet. You know, she's like, it's going to take time. She said, but just the fact that there was hope.
Absolutely.
That there were tools, that there were helpful things. And that's one of the things I've told women when I talk with them. I'm like, listen, I will talk with you. I will pray with you. I will encourage you. I said, but our counselors have tools.
Absolutely.
That you can put in your belt that will help you in a different way. Yeah. And I think that's so important. A huge reason why y'all are there.
Absolutely. And I think Sagemont does such a good job of trying to remove that stigma that people can have about mental health, because we have a counseling center that's supported by the church. And it's something that we value. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're immune from having some sort of struggle. We may know what's true, but that doesn't mean our brain is always going to function according to that truth. And there are things we can do.
Yeah. And y'all, I mean, that's a huge reason I have Kendra and different people like Kendra come on and talk about these things, is to take that stigma off of you're a believer, you shouldn't fill in the blank, whatever it is. You know, it's like, no, we still live in a sinful world and have the sin nature that is in all of us that God has washed clean, but we still are living in this sinful world. We are going to have struggles.
Exactly.
And oh my goodness, thank goodness we live in a day and age where it's okay to say I need help and to get those resources and have that help. So if you are someone that is struggling, please know you're not alone. There are resources, there are people that want to help. Sometimes it literally is just picking up the phone or sending an email. Or just saying it to somebody makes a huge difference. So we encourage you to do that. And then let's talk, you mentioned it a little bit, but the people who are saying, someone I love is struggling. And what do I do? How? Because y'all, as much as we wish we could go, stop.
Right.
Don't think that way. Don't feel like that. We wish that worked. It doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
But as a mom or a friend or a wife or a child, any of the different relationships, when you're seeing someone really struggle to where you're scared and fearful, what are good and appropriate ways to come alongside them?
Yeah, absolutely. Such an important thing to keep in mind. And you're absolutely right. Telling people to stop thinking that way or that's not true is not helpful. You don't want to dismiss how somebody's feeling, even though we do have the truth of Scripture. We know that there's no reason as believers to feel hopeless, because we have the hope of Christ. Doesn't mean that somebody doesn't feel that way. And so one thing that I always try to remind myself of and other people that are working with people is we can defend the truth of Scripture without being defensive towards someone of, Betsy, stop thinking that way, because the Bible says this. Right. We can encourage someone with what is true without telling them without invalidating their feelings is what I'm trying to say. And so trying not to dismiss their feelings is really important. Being a good listener, praying with them, but then also pointing them to resources, letting them know that, you know, I don't know how to help you right now, but I'm willing to commit to praying for you as you seek help, maybe helping them make that first phone call to a counseling center. There's also things available like a suicide hotline. You can call 988. That's really for someone that's struggling. But if you're talking to them and you feel like it's a crisis, you can call with them right then. You can make that phone call and help them to see that that stigma is doesn't have to be there, that you're willing to partner with them as they seek that help. Yeah.
I think that's so good. And I know I am very much a glass half full gal. Mm-hmm. That's just how the Lord wired me. And I have to be careful to not be like, it's not that big a deal. You're fine. It's good. It's whatever. You know, and it is that dismissive, or even not dismissing them, but dismissing the worry and concern that maybe the Lord is giving me. Hey, you need to be concerned. Like, there is real reason to be concerned.
Absolutely. One of my favorite places in scripture when I think about these kinds of things is the Psalms, because especially David's Psalms, he always gets to the truth at the end, but he puts his emotions on display. He talks about how hopeless he feels or how brokenhearted he feels. And I think that, you know, the Lord obviously is sovereign over the book of scripture and what was included. And I think it's intentional that those emotions are on display in there, because they are real, even though the truth is right there connected to it.
Yeah. It's like both of those things have to be held at the same time to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Then also just talk a little bit, because we know people that have walked through someone close to them, a family member, a friend that has committed suicide, and the aftermath of what that can look like and feel like. And I think even sometimes being the person in that boat and wanting to go, it's fine. I'm okay. It's fine. But then maybe years later going, oh, wait, I'm not. I'm still reeling from this, or it's affecting my relationships with other people. Talk a little bit to the people that have had people in their life commit suicide, and what are maybe good first steps, healthy steps? Go back and check things? I mean, what are some things they could be doing?
Yeah, what you're describing, Betsy, is grief. And I think anytime we're working through grief, we have to be patient with ourselves to let ourselves see what that loss is, to not dismiss our own feelings while they're probably different. We may, in those moments, experience a lot of sadness. We may experience a lot of anger. There can be frustration that comes along with grief. And so making sure that you're taking care of yourself and making sure you create that space to process through what you're feeling is so important.
What are some of the things that good-intentioned, even Christians, say that's not helpful? Because I think sometimes there's those, like I've learned, like right after someone loses a spouse, the next time you see them, don't say, how you doing? Like don't, they're not good. And so you have to come up with other ways to show that you care about people. And but it was one of those, it wasn't until I started working here that someone said, hey, this is not the question. And I went, oh, I hadn't even stopped to think about it. Are there other things that would be good for those of us that do come into these circumstances, even if it's a, you know, your friend's son is struggling or your friend, someone, what do you say to them that could be hurtful that we don't even sometimes realize?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's important to go back to that idea of not wanting to dismiss where people are at. And that scenario that you gave, I think part of it is you don't want to necessarily stir up the emotion either when it's not there. I think always letting people know that you're praying for them and then genuinely following up on that is something that is helpful. But as far as kind of those things not to say to someone that maybe they've had someone that they know that's died, I think I really have no idea what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
I'm so
sorry. You're good. No, it's a strange question, I know. And it's one of those that I'm like, I just think, because I even, when I've had friends whose children are struggling, to be able to hear them validate how they're feeling, but then also the parent just feels like there's nothing what do I do? I can't make them, especially adult children. I'm talking adult children, you know, I can't make them mm-hmm. make different decisions or do different things. And so I think for me, when I'm talking to people, I want to be very conscientious, like you said, to not brush it away. Mm-hmm. But then I think at the same time, I'm like, but I also don't want to go down a rabbit hole with them.
Right.
That's also not helpful.
Right.
And being able to find a weird balance somewhere sure. in how you're having those conversations.
Yeah.
Because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
Exactly. It's finding that middle ground of validating where they're coming from, but also reminding them of the truth of Scripture and trying to couple those things yeah. together.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I love about Sagemont having a counseling ministry is it's biblical counseling. It is, mm-hmm. hey, we're going to discuss and we're going to be honest, but we're also going to go back to Scripture. Mm-hmm. And we are going to say, hey, listen, I know you don't feel this right now, but it's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And always going back.
Absolutely.
To that. I know you said there was because you said the number, and I didn't realize this. So there's a three-digit number you can call mm-hmm. for.
It's
what
988. It's just a suicide hotline that it's staffed by.
Is it nationwide?
It's nationwide. Oh, wow. So you can call it at any time okay. and talk to someone about what your thoughts are. It's anonymous. You don't have to tell them where you are. They're not tracking where you
wow.
are. But they can help you make that decision of, am I stable enough? Can I just do a few exercises mm-hmm. to kind of get myself calm until I can maybe make that counseling appointment.
Okay.
But they can help you in that moment of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a line that you can text, and it's very similar. I know especially young people are often more right. comfortable with texting mm-hmm. than they are. And that number is 741-741. So you can text that number okay. as well and get that same kind of help.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that we have that. I also hate that we have to have it. You know, it's one of those you're like, man, I love that we have this resource, but I mm-hmm. hate the reasons why we have to.
Absolutely.
To have these kinds of resources. Do y'all have very many people, or is it okay for someone that says, I'm not struggling with suicidal thoughts, but someone I love is?
Mm-hmm.
Can I bring them to counseling? Should I come myself?
Mm-hmm.
How do you encourage people who are like, I think this person needs to be in counseling, but they won't come?
Mm-hmm.
How do you talk to somebody?
Sure. One thing that I always tell people is that really anybody can benefit from counseling. You said at the very
Absolutely.
Beginning just that some people are really struggling when they're walking in that office. Not everybody that's sitting yep. in our counseling office is in that moment of crisis, but there's always things all of us can work on
Absolutely.
And have kind of that time to reflect and slow down and be present with our emotions mm-hmm. and what we're dealing with. And so absolutely, if you're struggling with how do I help this person, that can be an
yeah.
easy way to schedule a time to meet and talk through it and maybe yeah. even come up with some tips for how to encourage that person
yeah.
to come to counseling.
I love that so much. I try to tell ladies, like, go to counseling before you have to
mm-hmm.
go to counseling. Like,
such good advice.
It's so important because there's so many things. All of us are living in this world and there's stuff
mm-hmm.
that that's just helpful to have someone process with you.
Exactly.
And you know, I learned early on in marriage that my mom was not the person to talk to when I was frustrated with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't go well because we would fix and we would mend and my mom was still like, I can't believe, you know,
right.
Nothing crazy, but it was one yeah. of, I was like, okay, so that's where growing up, my mom was my
yeah.
person for so many things. And then once different seasons of life, you have to figure out who are you talking to?
Right.
Who are you spending time? Who are you yeah. being vulnerable with?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those where you might have somebody in your life, but man, to be able to have a counselor that is removed and is coming with very fresh eyes and
mm-hmm.
can just speak in a different way than the people that are in your sphere.
Exactly. Yeah. We have an objective,
yes.
but also a very compassionate
yeah.
Sense in working with each person.
Yeah, which is great. And the other thing, talk a little bit just about the counseling center, because as we're talking about this, y'all have counselors that work with adults all the way down to kids.
We do. Yeah. We have counselors that even will see 2- and 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is parent training. And so there's a decent amount of parent involvement in
yeah,
that with the
sure.
littles. But really there's no age that we can't work with.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's really, really neat that, and some of the younger kids stuff, it's like play therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Like where they come in and they like talking and playing
yeah,
and doing
absolutely.
I mean, when they're
engaging
that little,
in play. That's
yeah.
that's really the language of childhood. And so we're able to incorporate that.
I love that so
even
much.
Even with our adolescents, I know everybody's maturity level is different.
Right.
Some really respond well to sitting down on a couch and talking and,
mm-hmm.
and some don't, and that's okay.
Yeah. I love that y'all are can do a gamut of things. Mm-hmm. And as the counseling ministry has grown over the years, mm-hmm. there really is this openness to it. So, y'all, so listen, we all understand suicide is a very difficult thing to talk about. And most people would probably choose not to if mm-hmm. they could. Right. But it is something that I think is important for us to talk to each other about, to talk to our friends about, to talk to our kids about, our parents. Because if you do find something out, man, better to find out and be able to be helpful and do something about it. So mm-hmm. use September as an opportunity to start those conversations in and around your people, I think is a huge benefit. And I'm so glad. Thank you for coming and just telling us and enlightening us and making sure we know, which is really important. And then all y'all also, if you're watching and listen, you might be like, I'm not struggling with suicide. Go counseling center does all the things,
absolutely
all the things. And mm-hmm. so, know that that's out there. If you have others in your life, encourage them to reach out, to that, department as well. Is just a huge, huge blessing, mm-hmm. that we get to be a part of that here at Sagemont and have that for our people, which is really cool. And I will say, I just thought about this. On Tuesday mornings and Wednesday nights, mm-hmm. while Bible studies and midweek is going on, there is someone from the counseling ministry at the ministry booth now, right? Mm-hmm. Which is really great. So if you are coming to Bible study on Tuesday morning or you're up here on Wednesday nights for midweek, there is a counseling representative at the ministry booths in right off of our lobby that's just there for people that maybe something mm-hmm. got stirred up and they need to talk to somebody.
Absolutely.
Which I think is so awesome mm-hmm. that we're doing that and having that resource here on campus. So know that that might even be a easy first step.
It's a good first step.
Yeah, mm-hmm. is to just even stop by and talk to somebody like that. So Kendra, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks and for having
me. And all of your team, thank y'all all for all that y'all are doing. Y'all are doing a great job. Thank y'all for hanging out today, and we love y'all, and we'll see you next time.